Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Spawn Daily episode, continuing with the Spawn reading order that Blake Whitlow created that we've been using to enjoy Spawn, to experience Spawn, and just to give a little history and context. Started this way back, 20th anniversary of Spawn in 2022. Kind of fell off when I had a few different co-hosts and nobody's able to keep up with the daily grind. And I just didn't want to do it on my own, but recommitted this year to reading all of Spawn, which I've never read the entirety of it. And when I first started out, we're just going to do the main series to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Spawn and get caught up with all the Spawn that had come out so we could read the new series that Todd had dropped at that time to celebrate the 350th issue, which was King Spawn, Scorched, Gunslinger Spawn, and then obviously the regular series. But like I said, I fell off, and even before that happened, something else happened that kind of expanded the project, because as we were reading, I was realizing that there were a lot of things that would happen in the mini series and the tie-ins and the ancillary series of Spawn that were very important, that kind of informed and gave context to the story that was happening in the main series. So once I hit issue 50, went back and filled in the gaps using Blake's reading order, because at that point, you know, prior to, I didn't need a reading order. I was just going to read all of Spawn. So you start with issue one, you read to issue, you know, I think at the time it was going to finish, it was going to be like a little above 350 or so. So, or not even 350, sorry, 350. What am I talking about? 350 came out this year. I think 300 had come out late the year before. So it was going to be like in the 330s, 340s, maybe. Again, once I added in all the extra stuff, I realized, well, it's going to be a much bigger project. Still was going to try to complete it in the year. I had a schedule set where I was going to release multiple episodes a day for a little while to finish in the year. Well, you know, again, it didn't happen. I apologize for that. Rededicated myself this year. Did miss a little time. Had some real life stuff happen, but back on the horse, back to recording daily. And really excited to share this project. People seem to be enjoying it. I've taken the opportunity to try to expand the YouTube channel, try to get up to 500 subscribers and monetize and do all that kind of stuff. So it should be a lot of fun. Just a reminder, when we do review an issue of Spawn, the main series, it will be one issue per episode. But when we review a lot of the other stuff, whether it's Sam and Twitch or Curse of the Spawn or you know, Cygor miniseries like we've done, Angela Violator, that sort of thing, we may be doing more than one issue in an episode just to try to get through this, right? That being said, like we did yesterday, we're doing today, we will do tomorrow, we're reviewing an issue of Curse of the Spawn in this episode, and it is going to be just one issue. And that's because we're reviewing a few issues, and it's interesting in the reading order that Blake put together, again, link in the show notes, you can go and check it out. These are listed as being possibly non-canon, and I can understand why. You know, last issue, the main character Hatch or Hatchet, he's never appeared since, even though his story finishes on the last page with a continued little blurb. He's never shown back up in any Spawn comic. So it's possible that it's not in canon. This one today, again, these characters, they haven't shown up. And the one we're going to talk about tomorrow, that character hasn't shown up again either. So that's not to say they can't at some point. We know that Todd likes to go back and mine things, or even better, when he recruits a new writer and they are a Spawn fan, maybe they've read something. And so, you know, may give a chance for somebody else to go and check it out, to have a story that stars Hatch or stars the guy that's in the issue today, whose name is Harley, of all things, and appropriately named, I would say. You know, Harley, I mean, this is before the days of Harley Quinn blowing up in comics, what have you. So it more evokes kind of, you know, a Hell's Angel or, you know, Harley Davidson motorcycles, that sort of thing. And it kind of suits this this young kid. So let me go ahead and show the cover. That's him there. He's got the glasses, which are very much an affectation in the issue, with the green glow and what have you. So again, these are all written by Alan McElroy, who is mostly known as a horror writer. At this time, you know, he did write on the Spawn movie as well. I'm sure that's how Todd met him. Again, he wrote the entirety of these Curse of the Spawn comics, and some of them are kind of out there. And I would say of any of the books or any of the series that we've read so far, they're the ones that probably are least important to the reading order. I mean, you can skip these completely, you know, if you don't have them. I'm not saying go hunt them down, hard to find, whatever. I'm not saying that at all. They are entertaining. The art by Duane Turner tends to be really fantastic as well. But again, they don't really inform much, at least not to this point. They haven't shown up, as I mentioned, the characters haven't shown up again in Spawn comics. But like I mentioned, that's not to say that they couldn't show up again in the future at some point. So let's go ahead and look inside the first page. So give you guys the credits there. As I mentioned, Alan McElroy handling the art. This one, the cover is Duane Turner, which is awesome. But this one's actually Clayton Crane. And, you know, Clayton's made a big name for himself, come a long way since this issue, which was what, 98, I think this came out. You know, digital painted, what have you. This is, you know, more of his original style, where you can see the fine line work, very much in keeping with the Duane Turner style, the McFarlane style, Capullo, that sort of thing. So really good backgrounds, really good action scenes and what have you. So it starts off, we see this kid again, like throughout most of the issue, we don't see his eyes. He's got these glasses on, which he kind of reminds me, I can't remember the character's name, but he reminds me a little bit, excuse me, when Ronnie Raymond, the teenage half of Firestorm, the original Firestorm, was in high school, there was this kid who kind of bullied him and kind of a rival, and he had those round like glasses and similar haircuts. That's what this guy kind of reminds me of. Obviously, that was, you know, 10 more than 10 years earlier. But anyway, this guy, he's sitting there, he's listening to music, he's naming off a bunch of heavy metal bands, Marilyn Manson, Nirvana, Creed, White Zombie, Soundgarden. I know they're all not all heavy metal, some are grunge, whatever, but Beastie Boys, Monster Magnet. And he's listening to it very loudly, and he's saying, "Bake my brain." Because when he goes to look in the mirror, he sees somebody behind him, this ghoulish looking figure that he refers to as Angel. And the guy's even got like this scar or a brand in his forehead that's a cross upside down, right? Which is like symbol of the Antichrist. And when he sees that guy in the mirror, he yells out, "Leave me alone." And he starts playing Kiss, and he's like playing it really loud and what have you. And so yeah, clearly the kid's got some mental stuff going on, right? So the next scene we see his dad's yelling at him, and credit to McElroy with just one sentence, one scene with the father here whose face is in shadow. And he says, the father's saying, you know, "Get your lazy ass out of bed," or whatever. That's all he says. And just with that, you understand. It kind of paints a picture very well done by McElroy of this kid. He doesn't have the best home life, right? His dad's kind of abusive, whatever. Next scene, they're at the breakfast table, and he's got two younger siblings. His dad's reading the paper. His mom's sitting there smoking a cigarette. So again, you really get a sense of, yeah, these aren't like loving, nurturing parents, right? So the guy just he doesn't have anybody. He's having these issues. He's seeing things, or you know, be infected by something, and he doesn't have anybody he can talk to. His mom's just getting onto him about his grades slipping. Well, because the guy's maybe thinks he's going crazy, right? And he tells him, you don't understand. And you know, even if he could try to talk to him, that they don't want to hear it. They're just like, be glad you have a roof over your head. So he goes to school, he's thinking along the way, they don't understand the nightmare that's inside me right now. And, you know, nobody understands about me and Angel. And he sees that figure again in the back seat of his car, who's just imploring him about something, saying, "Yeah, it'd be so easy, it'd be so easy." And he's yelling no once again. So he gets to school, and as he's walking into class, like, this thing's been in my head for months. It's showing me things, bloody things, horrible things. It calls itself a hell spawn. The days blur into one another. He's always there, and he wants me to kill something, anything, just, you know, constantly berating him. So he's in the cafeteria, and one of his friends is saying, "Hey, I see you staring at Kelly. She's really hot, but you're probably too scared to do anything." So he's got his friend whispering in one ear, and meanwhile, the angel, this angel figure, as he's dubbed it, is talking in his other ear, saying, Probably wouldn't know what to do with her if you got her alone, right? Like, just this poor guy, just like kind of egging him on, right? And so he kind of loses it, and he runs to the bathroom. He's throwing up, while this angel creature is saying, "Yeah, just go after her, take her. You know, I'll show you what to do, what have you." And this poor guy, yeah, he's just like, "I can't take this anymore." And after he throws up, he's standing in front of the bathroom mirror. He sees the thing behind him saying, "You know, if you just let me take over, I can work your arms and legs. We can rule this town." And yeah, this kid's losing it. He punches the mirror. He's just the poor guy, right? Like, this mental strain is really driving him over the edge. So he's at his locker a little while later, and Kelly actually says, "Hey, are you okay? You know, I saw you run out of the cafeteria earlier, and maybe this brief moment of respite for Harley, because hey, here's the girl that he likes. She's showing concern, and he takes the opportunity to ask her out." And she says, "Oh, sorry, your friend Travis, the one that was talking to him in the cafeteria, already asked me out." Well, that just pisses Harley off. Like, the guy was like, "Go ask her out. Why do you keep staring at her all the time? Like, do it." And then he goes behind his back and asks him, right? So that, yeah, Harley's just like, he's already under a lot of strain, a lot of stress. Goes out to the parking lot, grabs his friends, like, "What's the big idea? You knew I wanted to ask her out and you asked her out instead." And the guy's like, "What are you doing? Are you nuts? Like, get off me," whatever. And he drives off, and Angel saying, you know, again, egging Harley on, trying to find any foothold, right? Saying, "You should have let me kill him, Harley. You should have let me kill him." So he goes to his job later. He's got his headphones on, you know, maybe the one thing that helps drown out the voice of this demon that's inside him, this hellspawn. And he's moving, I mean, the most menial labor ever, right? He's moving up boxes from one pile to another. And his boss comes up and says, "Hey, you dumbass kid, I told you to move them from this pile to that pile, and you're doing it backwards. You're not leaving here until you're done." And you know, he's got a utility knife that he's, you know, uses to cut the boxes free or whatever. And again, he hears the voice of the hellspawn in his head saying, "Let me kill him, let me kill him." But Harley's response to that is just to turn the music up louder. And the angel says, "You can't drown me out forever." So later, finally, when Harley's done, and he's leaving his job at this warehouse, there's a couple of thugs outside who look like they've kidnapped this girl, and they say, "Hey, we're taking your car." And Harley, you know, not one to find me, he's way smaller than these guys. He's like, "Go ahead, take it, take," you know, he's not going to fight him or whatever. But one of the guys pistol whips him anyway, and that kind of that weakness, maybe it's the fact that Harley has been just pushed over the edge and now physically assaulted. The hellspawn angel says, "Let me handle this," and literally stabs one of the guys in the throat, like through the open mouth, into the throat. Like, it's a brutal image from Clayton Crane. Like, and the other two that are there, the other thug and the girls, they're just like, just shocked, right? Like, the look on their faces. And it's the angel now. It's not it's this angel hellspawn. It's not Harley at all. The word balloons look completely different. He says, "Next." And the girl goes taken off, but the other thug is not so lucky, and this possessed version of Harley jumps on him and literally rips his heart out. The hellspawn is talking to Harley, saying, "Life and death, the ultimate rush." And Harley himself, we know it's Harley's voice because the word balloons change. He says, "I feel it, dear God, no, I feel it." Yeah, things have gotten out of hand, to say the least. So instead of going home, Harley goes and he finds Travis, who's out with Kelly, and they're out with a couple of other of their friends on a double date. He's following them. He rams their car off the road, crashes into a gas station, and they realize it's Harley's car. They recognize the car. And so after the crash, the people at the gas station are like, "Hey, you know, get out of those cars before they blow up or whatever. There's gas shooting everywhere, what have you." And this woman opens the door of Harley's car and says, "Yeah, you know, get out of there, you maniac. You're going to be in a lot of trouble." And when she opens the door, there's like this green goo everywhere. So maybe there's some kind of transformation that Harley's undergoing. And when she says that, you're going to get, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You're going to catch hell for this. His response is, I already got, hell's already caught me, is what he says. And then, like, almost punches her head off. So again, really brutal art from Clayton Crane. And meanwhile, the four teenagers, Kelly and Travis and the two others, they go run into the gas station. The owner has, the proprietor's come around the counter. He's got a shotgun. He's like, what's going on out there? Like, hey, this guy, he's nuts. We don't know what his problem is. And so he tells him to run out the back. I'll hold him off here. And when Harley comes up to the door, the last, I mean, Harley doesn't look very big. Just a kid. So the last person that this owner would think is responsible is Harley, right? And he goes, hey, man, get in here. There's a maniac. There's a crazy man on the loose out there. And Harley's response to that is, the devil, you say? Because again, it's the angel speaking through Harley. So these kids run into the back, out the back door. It's a blind alley, it's a dead end. So they force the door of the building. That's adjacent to it, and they head up to the roof. They're like, maybe we can jump from the roof to the roof next door and get away, because they know this guy's chasing them. So they get up there and they're trying to figure out how they're going to do this. The window's all boarded up, but the boards are actually really loose. So they say, okay, let's just push all these boards off the window and we'll be able to jump to the roof next door. But while they're doing that, the other girl there, do they say what her name is? Ramona is her name. She's standing there, and Harley literally reaches through the floor. I should say Angel, really, because really it's the Hellspawn, reaches to the floor and pulls her. And again, it's just brutal art from Clayton Crane. Like especially that bottom panel there, where her face is all in shadow, and all you see is her teeth and the blood rushing out of her mouth. And then on the following page, we see Harley there looking up through the hole that he's made, saying, hey, how was the movie? I tried to ask Ramona, but accidentally ripped her throat out. Whoops, sorry. Like, he's clearly gone over the edge. And so the three that are left are scared out of their minds. Kelly jumps across to the other roof. And then this other kid, I don't really ever say his name, he jumps across as well. He tries to jump across. But as he goes to leap, Travis is like, what are you waiting for? And he turns around and he sees that the guy's guts have been pulled out through his back by Harley again. Like, he's just, I mean, he's far gone. And again, very brutal, obviously, for mature readers. I probably should have said that in the beginning. You just see how brutal this artwork is. And so, the Hellspawn is kind of messing with Travis, enjoying the torment, I guess you'd say. And he says, hey, how was your date? How's the date going? So Travis tries to jump across to the roof where Kelly is, but he slips in his friend's blood and he falls. And the only reason he doesn't die is because he lands in a big pile of trash. But he's yelling up to Kelly, hey, run away, I'll meet you at your house later. But that's not actually what's going to happen, because as he looks up, he sees this angel possessed Harley coming at him, and the last thing he sees is the guy's kiss, or the guy's kiss, the guy's mouth, Harley's mouth wide open, and he's saying, where's my goodnight kiss? So Kelly takes the late night bus home. It's raining, and obviously she's going over everything that's happened, and she's traumatized. She just wants to be home where she can feel safe. And she doesn't know what happened to Travis. She left before that happened, so she's hoping that he'll be there or he'll arrive shortly after. And she opens the door to her home, and there's her mother and her father, and they're dead. They're sitting there with Harley, and he's killed them. He's talking to the dead body, saying, yeah, I just want you to know I love your daughter to death. And obviously she's terrified as he turns around. And she runs into the kitchen and she grabs a steak knife, and she's saying, stay away from me, stay away from me. And her pleas sort of get through the angel Hellspawn and get to Harley, who has these feelings for her. And his persona surfaces kind of briefly. And he says, no, Kelly, wait. He's trying to explain to her. He's like, I've got this thing inside me. It's like a ghost. It's taken me over. It made me do all this stuff. I don't know what to do. And Kelly, realizes it's Harley. Like, this is actually Harley. It's not speaking in the weird voice anymore. And after everything that she's been through, it's a little convenient, maybe. Like, you would think she would still be scared of him, but again, all this trauma she's been through, and here's Harley, somebody she actually knows. Everybody else is dead, but it was him that did it, but not really. But either way, she does kind of hug him. She says, "I want to believe you." He says, "Please believe me. Please believe me. I don't want the angel to win. I need. I can't do it alone." And they're like crying together. All their friends have died and what have you. And then the next morning, the scene shifts. We're back at Harley's house, and we see Harley there. But he's speaking in the angel voice again, and he's speaking to somebody. He says, "Hey, things are going to be better. Last night meant a lot to me. And now that you're here, Kelly, I'm starting to feel good about myself again." So he's back in his basement bedroom, and it's Harley, but he's speaking in the angel's voice. So I guess the hellspawn has taken over again. They're listening to some Kiss music. And the hellspawn voice is saying that he's taken over Harley again, saying, "All there is to know about me. You've seen me at my worst. You didn't even flinch." And then we get to the final page, which is just absolutely horrific. Just like, it sends chills down my spine. It's so awful, because she's dead. He killed her. That must have been at some point after that moment they had together in Kelly's kitchen. He's got her mouth stitched up into a grin. He's got her eyes stitched open, and we see that the hellspawn, this angel hellspawn, has completely taken over Harley for good, because we see reflected in the mirror is the real Harley, his kind of symbolizing his persona being trapped as well. And this ghost of an angel hellspawn has taken over for good. And he says, it's the angel hellspawn says, "It's like a mirror image of where we were yesterday, right?" Because now Harley's the one that's trapped, and the hellspawn is the one that's free. And it says the end. So again, these characters never showed up again anywhere. I guess that's okay, because it's pretty horrific, like I said. So it really, in keeping with the let me get off this page so you guys don't have to stare at it. But really, in keeping with the sort of writing that McElroy likes to do, right? This guy's a horror writer. It's a little tropey, a little cliched, as some of his stories can be, when we're talking about writing horror movies or what have you. The teenagers, the demon within, the kid that means well but is possessed and kills all his friends, whatever. But it works. I mean, there's a reason they tell those type of stories, because they do work, and it is terrifying. And I think what really sells this is the Clayton Crane art, right? Like, totally a slasher type film, right? With that Clayton Crane art, and there's a lot of blood and guts and gore and what have you. Not typically my kind of thing. But I think the story is entertaining. It certainly is terrifying. As I said, these characters don't show up. So not just talking about Harley, and Kelly's obviously dead or what have you, but even this angel hellspawn, like, not sure how that all works in the mythos of hellspawns. To be able to be a ghost or what have you. I mean, typically a hellspawn dies, and they're either like kind of erased from existence if it's one of the seraphim that kill them, or they go back down to hell, where Amal Bolja, puts them in his undead army or what have you. So not quite sure how that all works out, but again, it's Alan McElroy just telling stories he wants to tell, is what it feels like. And just using bits and pieces of the Spawn mythos as he sees fit for a story, even if it doesn't necessarily make sense in the kind of the mythos or the canonical rules of Spawn and the Hellspawn powers and whatever that we know. So again, I think it's okay. The art's fantastic. Really kind of terrifying, but sort of a simple story, relatively quick. So that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Don't forget to check out the reading order so you can see what we've read so far and what's coming up next. Link in the show notes, so check that out. Quick reminder, please subscribe on YouTube. If you're listening to audio only, just head over to YouTube and subscribe to the Comic Source channel. I'm really trying to hit that 500 subscriber goal, like I said, so I can monetize. And leave some comments below. Love to hear what you guys have to say about these particular issues. haven't had too much feedback lately, but probably people getting back in the swing of things. Completely my fault for missing that time. And also maybe it's just that a lot of people don't have, this curse of the spawn. It wasn't like it was a big seller or what have you. And again, I'm not encouraging anybody to go out and track these down, because they're only kind of marginally, at best, connected to the main spawn stories. The one I did yesterday, this one, the one I'm doing tomorrow. Again, the characters do not show up again or haven't to this point. So, take that for what you will. But anyway, appreciate you watching. Appreciate the support as always. That's gonna do it for this episode, everybody. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.